Okay, franchise talk this week. The Matrix is dead. Long live the Matrix. They have announced a sequel, a pre sequel,
Sequel.
a fifth Matrix movie. To be directed by, what is it,
Goddard?
Drew Goddard,
I believe so.
written and directed. So it's, and this is a question about franchises, right? Oh, by the way, I'm Aaron Covington, and this is my friend Bernard Harris.
Hello.
We talk franchises, and yeah, we kind of just dissect franchises. Franchise in like restaurant terms, it means somebody else runs your kind of restaurant, the restaurant you started somewhere else, right? You
Right,
franchise it out.
right, right.
Does a thing become a franchise once somebody else takes the reins of the new story? Is
Yeah,
that the thing that makes it a franchise, or is it just having sequels or just having, merchandise? What makes a thing a franchise?
does it need to cross different media, right? Does it need to be
Right.
multimedia, like? There's like a couple of things there where it's like, what truly makes a franchise? Because it's certainly talked about, like anything with a sequel, any almost any intellectual property is like kind of commonly referred to as a franchise, at least when it comes to movies and stuff. But yeah, what does that mean if we think about franchises across other industries?
It's a good question, and it's almost kind of case by case. Matrix is such a special case because there was the first Matrix movie, Beloved, and then there was the Animatrix. Then there was a video game. Then there were two sequels. Since there's been comic books, so it's a and a big MMORPG. So a couple of video games. One trilogy, then a new movie, Matrix Resurrections, which we'll talk a bit about on this pod. Comic books, like official comic books, and like I said, the Animatrix, which were shorts made and directed by other people, not the Wachowskis. So,
I didn't think about that. Yeah. They've been
when
kind
you
of in it from the jump.
they've been in it, and when you think about Star Wars, which was one of the biggest franchises. I guess Lucas didn't direct the first three, but he wrote all the first three. It's all been him.
He definitely co-wrote the first three. He directed the first one for sure.
Yeah. So, but even before, say, the prequels, which he also did, it was already definitely considered a franchise. It was a multi. Well, there were
Books,
video games before
comics,
there were
video
books. Yeah,
games.
so transversing other media, which often makes it, you often have to have different creators once you enter a different medium.
Absolutely. I think about Star Trek in that way too. Definitely kind of even predated Star Wars a little bit on that whole multimedia front. And yeah, once you start having comics, books, and tie-in merchandise and all that stuff, it cannot be either those individual directors or, in the case of Star Trek, a TV show like that writer's room is not the one behind it, you know?
Yeah. So Matrix is coming back. Fourth movie, fifth movie. What did we think of the fourth movie, Matrix Resurrections?
Before we jump into that, I kind of want to jump back on that franchise piece, because I'm wondering about the Matrix had all those things, right? It had the tie-in comics and video games and everything. I remember a conversation you and I had a few years ago at this point, and we've known each other for 20 years plus at this point, and we're definitely of that Matrix generation. So that was even an early like touch point in us getting to know one another. Like, oh, you like
For
the Matrix?
sure.
You like the Matrix? Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Want you to get to this point.
Okay.
Yeah, let's,
For
what do you
sure,
want to
for
talk
sure, for
about?
sure, for sure. No. So I wonder, like, Even with all that stuff, did they really capitalize on the full potential of the Matrix as a franchise?
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
And I think that the Wachowskis have every right to have had the stories that they viewed. But I know one thing that when we talked about this years ago, it was like, this was probably 2015 or so, somewhere around there. But it's like, at that time, did you see a lot of Matrix cosplay, which is always a really good barometer of how something's hitting the
Right.
culture? You know what I mean? It's
Where
like,
the Matrix
I
messed up, what they messed up as a franchise is they didn't never did an animated series. That's what
Yeah.
would have held them over and would have really endeared them to fans and brought the cosplay back to life in the span between the third movie and Resurrections. When you look at, again, Star Wars, they had like Clone Wars and they had a, you know, a number of animated series, and Trek just had a number of other series. And that's what DC and Marvel continue, even when they weren't doing movies, they had animated series.
For
Yeah.
sure.
And whenever they have a new movie, they have a new animated series or two or three. And the Ninja Turtles, when they were in a drought of movies, they had new Ninja Turtles cartoons. You gotta have the animated. The animated series is key.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. I'm gonna throw another one in there because everything you just mentioned also had ongoing comic book runs.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, Matrix, that's a Warner Brothers movie, like we should at least for a 10-year run, we should have had like a Matrix ongoing comic book series like published by Vertigo or something like that. You know what I mean? Like
I think, I wonder, like,
attract the best writers, you know?
Matrix is so funny because it's such a singular story to be so big. Because it is about Neo. And I think fans often fantasize about what other characters might exist in the Matrix or what other stories there are. But it all comes back to Neo and Trinity in a way that I wonder if they had stories that they could have branched out and been other characters. The Enter the Matrix, the game. And so, franchise talk, I feel like people are kind of familiar with the thing. So, we don't need to explain everything. Like, you listen to the franchise talk about the Matrix, you understand. Enter the Matrix, the first game, follow Jada Pinkett's character, right? And Ghost, the
And
other
Ghost.
character. And then their story played out in the movie, but it was
Yeah.
directly tied to what Neo did and what was going to happen in Matrix Reloaded in a way that's like, I don't know if there was more story there.
Right.
So a Matrix prequel, almost like a Matrix animated series or a Matrix. I mean, what they did with the Animatrix was great. The Animatrix is legendary.
Really is. And even the first, that first animated short in the Animatrix, the one that's computer animated, almost like lifelike, it's definitely like the cover image. I think that one tied into the Matrix Reloaded too, because like the beacon that they lose at the end is just like briefly mentioned,
Yeah.
almost like in passing.
And there was another one with the kid, and the kid was a character in the next two movies.
I forgot that was, yeah. So there was some tie in there.
But they could have done maybe a prequel. We talked about it, like if there was a Morpheus
Yeah.
or a Trinity prequel, or Morpheus finding the other ones, but they're not really the ones, and then discovering that maybe that, and it all leads more to Neo. But I do wonder if
Yeah.
the Wachowskis and envisioning this, thought about it in terms of the greater world. With other franchises, you can see like Star Wars was always a whole galaxy universe, so it was easy to imagine what other stories would be. I think with the Matrix, it's a little harder, at least now, to envision what the other stories would be that would make an audience care about them, a broad audience care about
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's actually a great point to transfer into the Ma and into Matrix Resurrections too, because that was so much about Neo and Trinity specifically.
them. For sure. I like Matrix Resurrections. I thought it was interesting. I liked the little kernels about the story and how it and how they explain things, really from two and three, really made two and three make more sense, I think. What about you? What about you?
I actually just watched it like last week or the week before, because it's the 25th anniversary of the Matrix and they just announced this new one, and I had been thinking about it for a while, so just watched it for the first time since it first came out. Actually, I saw it once before. I liked it when, the first time I saw it, but this time I was really pretty impressed by it, actually. Like, I think, yes, it has identifiable flaws, but I mean, it's a really good sci-fi story. It advances the world of the Matrix in a lot of fresh and interesting ways, like the way they jack into the Matrix, Jada Pinkett Smith's kind of small side story, where we even get a glimpse of her kind of post-Matrix. What was the last one? Not Reloaded,
Revolution.
Revolutions. So, you know, the idea of what Neo did allowed so that some humans are kind of working with the machines and some machines are working with the humans, and like just muddying up that water, I thought was a really interesting kind of sci-fi twist.
Yeah, that's
So,
really the
yeah.
most interesting thing to me, I think, just the idea that was hinted at with the like the Merovingian. In
Yeah,
the second and third
Merovingian.
ones, that there were all these rogue programs living underground that were doing their own thing. And then, of course, Agent Smith was upsetting that balance, was upsetting the entire total balance of the Matrix. And then once Neo freed everything, there was a division among the victors, the machines. So more rogue programs. But they didn't have to necessarily be underground. They could choose sides and they wanted to. Maybe if they weren't human, they were more cooperative with the humans, more friendly, and they needed a different, the world to be different.
I really love Neil Patrick Harris as the villain in that, and like that character's backstory, as like he was one of like the machines that was watching as like Neo inserted himself into the Matrix and destroyed everything at the end of Revolutions. And like just the idea that there's kind of like this just small minor functionary
It's
watching
like,
and seeing
yeah, no,
opportunity, you know?
it's like we're going to war and this is the leader of the general of the war, and all the other generals are like, well, let's see how it goes. Because if he loses, then I'm next in command, and they have their own power struggle. You know, it really
It's
humanized
very
them.
like collapse of the Soviet Union, right? Like
Yeah, something like that.
so no, I really liked Matrix Resurrections. And one of the things I think that's really interesting about it is like the first Matrix, which I think most people will identify as the best one, still an incredibly impressive movie and a more impressive script. No line of dialogue in that film
Right.
doesn't have a secondary meaning, which is very interesting.
The thing about the first Matrix is it's just like a great, such a well-made, tightly constructed movie, which is like kind of different than just like it being a great story or being this or that. Like I don't know that it is such a great story or a better story than the other movies, but it is a better movie than the other movies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then on top of that, right, the icing on the cake is that it literally did some revolutionary stuff within action movie making, right? You know what I mean? And sci-fi movie.
And that's where the next two kind of fell off. And this one didn't pick up the banner, like the action in Matrix, phenomenal. The action in the other three, not as phenomenal. And there were some good things in Reloaded, like the highway fight.
Oh, for sure.
But they leaned so heavily on the technology that I think the fights lacked a certain that kind of punch you want to feel in the audience, like where moves and kicks and hits have weight to them. They didn't have any weight.
I always think about a lot, so many of those fights in the first Matrix where you can literally see the dust fly off somebody after they get hit. You know what I mean? And that's missing from two and three. I thought what Matrix Resurrections did as far as action-wise, that was really interesting. It clearly decided, and like they specifically say within the movie, right? Like It clearly decided not to go with bullet time or try to outdo that. But what I thought they did that was really cool was how they had people fighting between the doors that were opening between like reality and like somebody would like punch somebody, they'd fall sideways and then they'd be falling vertically. You know what I mean? So that was really cool with some of that stuff.
Like when they were on that train earlier in the
When they're,
movie. Yeah, that was a good fight. That was a good fight for sure. And I think so. This movie made clear to me, just talking about the Matrix, that there's just levels to the Matrix, right? Like, even the humans living in Zion and then Io are not in a Matrix to me. There is no way that machines have that much power, and just like these humans can live free, and we have no idea what they're going to do, but we're trying to fight them. It's like, no, those humans are in a control also. Maybe they're in a matrix within a matrix. Maybe it's more psychological, but it's definitely not just, they're not just the real world. You know what I mean?
There's a what you're saying makes me think of there's a line in the first Matrix script that was cut from the movie, but basically Neo asks how Zion gets its power, and they say we siphon our power from the same place that the Matrix gets theirs. So in fact, in order to live, they are utilizing the power that is generated by the human beings that are enslaved. You know, so it's like it's connected deeper than we want to think that it is, you know?
And like, how could they be using that power and machines don't know? Machines
Right, don't
know
know.
would be calculated for everything. Any loss of power, they could investigate. Those sentinels could figure out, oh, the humans are using this. They could just cut that power. They could just cut the power.
Absolutely.
You know, they could just cut the power, cut the water, no food, and just watch humans die out. So that, for some reason, is not beneficial to them.
Yeah, I think is it, what's interesting about the resurrections, you know, is that I think it does a great job of really just talking about aging, and certainly at this point in my life, something that I'm starting to realize. But just like there's so much within that movie, and you know, obviously written and directed by Lana Wachowski. And when it first came out, there was much about it being a trans allegory, and it certainly is. But I think it's also just an allegory for like getting to middle age and looking around and like realizing that the escape or the rebellion or the revolution of your youth just kind of ended you up in a different thing that you now have to kind of break free from. You know, there's so much about Neo being unsatisfied or Trinity, you know, being in a family that she's clearly not really fully into, you know what I mean? And there's a lot going on there. And I think that's really interesting to take the Matrix, which is so much about like 20s angsty rebellion, you know what I mean? Even though we were teens when we saw it, but it really is like of that kind of 20s age group. And then to see something like made by people in their 50s coming back to that, I think that material is ended up really interesting in the final film.
So like, let's dig up into that a little bit. So like, Neo is older, but he's back. He's Mr. Anderson again, basically. But like, if you were Mr. Anderson in 99 and you were at this tech job, it's a realistic progression that you would maybe develop a video game one day, and then you know, he wouldn't be the mindless office worker. 20 years later, he's 40, 50 years old, years of experience, and moved up in a company, started his own company. That's a natural, like a realistic progression. But now he's like created this game, and they need a sequel to the game, right?
And he's like entrapped by the success of that game.
So is that what you're kind of talking about in terms of looking at it,
I think so.
like,
Like just the idea of like breaking free of that office job, right? There's those lines in the original Matrix. You can feel the Matrix when you pay your taxes, when you say goodbye, when you help your neighbor take out the trash, like that every day of that life of just being Thomas Anderson, office drone. And he breaks out of it. He creates this thing, right? He breaks free of the Matrix in that sense. And he create, it's the life that he wants, right? He's the one in of his own world, right? In this allegory that we're talking about, in this metaphor. And then he still gets entrapped by just the progression of life, right? The thing that freed him is also now the thing that entrapped him.
Which that was the same dilemma that he had at the end of the first trilogy too. What freed him was being the one, but as soon as he was the one, he had all this other responsibility to save humanity, to stop Agent Smith, right? So I guess it's the never ending cycle. It's like, what responsibility do you want to have, you know?
Yeah, I think the parallel or the metaphor of the Matrix being life is clearly there in the very first movie, even in those lines that I just quoted, right? But Resurrections makes it clear that it re the Matrix really is a re metaphor for life. Like, you don't escape it. It keeps coming back on you, and you have to like refresh your relationship with it, like continually. Like, it's too powerful for you to do anything about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I find that really interesting. And also the idea of like Trinity and Neo being a combined power, I think, is another thing that was there from the beginning. Like, Neo isn't the one until Trinity says she loves him. And that's because Trinity was told by the Oracle that she would love the one. Like, he doesn't get back up in that hallway in the first movie until she says that. So their power, their story, that being the one was always kind of tied. And I think that was a really interesting development in the Resurrections. It makes me think where this fifth movie would go if it touches on any of this at all.
Well, it's interesting because that's very basic coding. It's like Neo is the one, like Neo equals the one. If Trinity says I love you, else if, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
He's not the
I never really considered that.
one. Right. Yeah, so what would we want to see out of a new Matrix movie? This is a question, like, where does it go? Because there's a lot of No movie is perfect. There's holes in every movie. I mean,
Even the first Matrix.
we were texting about the first Matrix when he saves her from the helicopter in that big climactic fight. The guy back in the not tank, well, whoever was back in the Nebuchadnezzar was like, he's the one. But he didn't actually do anything one in that moment. He didn't he had when he dodged the bullet, she was like, I never saw anybody move that fast. But when he actually saved her, he didn't like change the code of the Matrix in any way. He just grabbed a rope and she hung on the other end. You know, it was a heroic feat, but it wasn't Matrix code bending. It wasn't until he stood toe to toe with Agent Smith that he once again demonstrated that he had unique ability. Then it wasn't until he woke up that he really was like, that he actually did something nobody else had done. But then in the second one, they go to the meeting, like the first part of the movie, they go to the meeting, and Neo's standing out there as the bodyguard, which we all get because he's so powerful, he can stop the agents. But I remember it's like, shouldn't Neo be in the meeting? Isn't he the most important person right now? Then when the agents come, he fights them. And I'm like,
Why is he fighting?
why didn't he just crush them or blow up their code or do something like otherworldly to them? Why did he like fight them in martial arts? Just showing off?
Yeah, I recently, like, well, not recently, but a number of years ago, I think back, maybe even 5 years ago, back when it was the 20th anniversary, I rewatched the trilogy, and that was like the first thing when I got to that very beginning scene in Matrix Reloaded, I was like, why is he fighting them? Like, it never occurred to me back in the theater, you know what I mean? But I was like, why is he fighting him? Like, and
I
honestly,
just watched him jump into Agent Smith. You rewatched the first one.
right.
It's like he jumped into this dude, and the other agents ran scared. Now it is like upgrades. But can't you still jump into dudes?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're sitting there having a hand-to-hand fisticuffs with these guys. Like, what is going on? You know what I mean? It actually makes me think about a thing that I liked that I've heard a lot of criticism about Matrix Resurrections, which is like his kind of push powers that he has. And at least that is something that is bending the nature of reality. You know what I mean?
It's new.
And
It felt new.
it felt new.
And that he was able to fly without, like, a little easier in this one. It was like, okay, these are expansions. So what would we want to see in the new Matrix? Long live the Matrix.
Yeah, long live the Matrix. Matrix is dead, long live the Matrix. I think one thing that I would very much like to see, and I don't know that this is story-wise, but I would like to see them get back to that very high contact hand-to-hand combat that we saw in the first one, right, where you can feel the punches landed. I know
Okay.
that, John Wick has done a lot of that and been very impressive.
But like story with the
Story
action,
wise,
I don't know what this guy is gonna do, and I'm sure he's gonna like, it's a different situation. They made their movie kind of quick.
yeah,
It seemed like they
it was
not
mid-COVID.
yeah. So there were some things around it that they probably and they were trying to make a statement about the change. But I'm sure this guy is looking at making a statement with his action. But is there
All right.
anything
So I'm gonna
story-wise we're
answer
looking
it with
at?
a I'm gonna answer it with a question. Let's narrow it down. Would you like a sequel or a prequel?
I don't want a prequel.
Fair. Yeah, you're kind of anti-prequel usually. So sequel. I think sequel, what I want to see is I'd like to see another jump like the Matrix Resurrections. Like, it's been 18 or so years for us, the audience. It looks like it's been a lot longer for Neo, at least in the real world, when he gets to Io, right? That feels like it's been like a solid 40 some years or something like that. So I'd like to see them jump ahead a similar amount of time or more, and kind of, if it's going to be a sequel and they're not going to include Neo and Trinity,
Tall order.
I'd love for them to go just beyond it.
That's a tall order because it's more akin to The Force Awakens, where it's like you're kind of starting over, and then you have to tread lightly because they did, they pretty much mirrored the old story in Force Awakens, and it doesn't seem like in the Matrix you could mirror. They couldn't be back to searching for the one.
No.
At the same time, having a prophecy is key to the franchise.
Absolutely.
Having a one is key to the franchise. So maybe there's a new,
Predestination matters.
there's a new version. There has to be a new version of that, a new take on what that might be, whether it's a group of people or and Resurrections blew it up because they were like, the one is actually was always two. It was always two. But at the same time, her name is
Is
Trinity,
Trinity.
which is three. So when you watch it, you're like, oh yeah, Morpheus was three. And then Morpheus wasn't really that key to Resurrections, not like the way Lawrence Fishburne as Morpheus was. So in terms of franchise talk, it's like with the Matrix, we want a prophecy. Want a machine war or conflict. We want agents. We want the one, even though you can subvert that. We want IO now, and we want Sentinel fights and big ships. These are things that you've established in the franchise. So how much of that can even carry over? It'd be really, I mean, this makes me really excited to hear what his story take is going to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to throw out a crazy one that'll probably never happen. What about a machine one?
That doesn't have a human form, you mean?
doesn't have a human form, like born in the Matrix becomes a new one, you know what I mean? Really push that thing forward about the making it more complicated. I don't know. We'll
Yeah.
see.
Well, because it does have shades of like the a Pinocchio type of story, you know?
For sure. And Agent
Machines.
Smith was kind of that.
Yeah. Like the dark Pinocchio. He wanted to be more human, you know?
Yeah.
And then when he could clone himself, basically, that was, you know, the darkest timeline of that kind of character. So, yeah, and what is the threat, you know? What is the threat? It
Yeah.
wasn't really, well, Matrix Resurrections also left us with the same promise of the first Matrix. It's like, oh, Neo can this is what happened with Reload and Revolution. This is my last thing. At the end of the Matrix, it's Neo can bend the Matrix. The one can bend the Matrix to his will and create a new world. And then we didn't really see that in 2 and 3. Like, we were wondering what that meant, and they never really told us what that meant. Then he sacrifices himself, but only because of Agent Smith. So he wasn't actually, like, was he that necessary
Yeah.
if there wasn't for an Agent Smith? And then in Resurrections, they're like, we're going to build our own Matrix. They're flying and holding hands. Like, we don't need you. Are they going to deliver on that promise? What could that even mean?
Yeah.
What does it mean to deliver on that promise for humanity that exists still, I guess, in these pods and in what we know as IO now?
Yeah.
Those, I guess, are my questions.
I think those are good questions. I think ultimately, and Drew Goddard's a good writer, so he's going to be asking important story questions too. But yeah, what are those things that need to happen in order to deliver on that promise? And I think the question that we asked at the beginning, like, what makes a franchise, and what are those things within the Matrix franchise? What are those things that have to be there for it to be the Matrix?
Right.
You know.
We'll be looking forward to it. We're looking forward to this. I don't know if it has a release date. Yawning here.
I don't think that it, I don't remember. 26 would seem like if they were going to do it, the earliest could probably be 2026.
Yeah, and this article, I'm just skimming this article. I don't see, you know, sometimes they announce things and it's like it's already, they might be in the middle of shooting. Like the title says it's in the works, so he probably already turned in a script. Like, it's further along than they let us know. But whenever it happens, you know, I'll be looking out for it, looking forward to it. We'll probably at least dissect the trailer in some way a little bit whenever that
Oh,
comes out.
definitely.
But I hope it's good. You know, this is like you said, this is the millennial franchise. This is our
100%.
Star Wars in a lot of ways, that the franchise that was created in our lifetime. So let's see how, you know, don't let us down.
Right, Drew Goddard, please.
And hey, give us a month. We could think of an animated, we could come up with an animated series. You need an
Hey.
animated series, Matrix.
You and I have been watching those movies more than a person should for 20 years. I'm sure we could come up with something, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
just give us a whiteboard and some markers in a couple of weeks. We'll think of something and get this animated series popping. That'll put the Matrix in its proper place, I believe.
Yeah, I would love to see something like, maybe not exactly like this in tone, but something of like a invincible level of quality for the Matrix.
Yeah, give me a Clone Wars, you know?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, for sure.
And like the ending of it is they find Mr. Anderson, basically. They track him, you know, or something that you know leads to that. So you do like 3 seasons, and the finale is his line of code reads different, and so they're like, he's the one who finally. And this is after like a failed attempt at finding the one, or two, or maybe season one or two, or two failed attempts, you know?
Hey man, don't give it all
Because,
away.
yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. Unless this sells it. Hey, if you're listening,
If this is the pitch that sells it, for sure.
okay. Yeah, that was cool. We'll talk, we'll get more franchise talk next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for joining, and we'll see you next time on Franchise Talk.